Blog Talk Radio.
We are Sex Bob-omb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I'm your voice here, hearing your voice here, the sound of the cold, the sound of the sun, reaching my threshold, feeling as if you're still blind. My body's stupid, stereo putrid, spilling out music, in the road to it, reaching my threshold,
What is going on, people? The Mighty Black NPR is back. Another week of blowing your fucking mind. It is me, Daniel Krupp, with Tasha Wright and Brooklyn Black on the board. Getting into it. Thanks for everybody for all the really dope feedback from the last 2 weeks of shows. It's something about hip hop that really brings out the looky lose and the who has it. We did the Trial of Nas. All of our shows are available to listen. So if you haven't heard it, please listen. Go to the Black NPR pod at twitter.com. I'm willing to argue Nas apparently for the rest of my natural life. That assumes that my life will be consistent of talking about Nas until I die, even though I'd rather not. But if you're getting new to the show and you heard it and you're like, hey, I want to get into it. Like, I have my, you know, you were wrong, Daniel. Like, I heard it. Just, he didn't say what are colors and he didn't say what are numbers or what have you. And you want to engage me in that, I will
to talk to you about it. So that's that. The number is 347-857-4302 if you want to talk or you just want to listen on the phone because you're weird. Right now we're going to get into some news. I want to give some information off the top. I spoke with my producer, but I believe we're going to be taking a quick break. Maybe a 2-3 week break, maybe the month of March. I don't know. I will keep you abreast on our Twitter feed, let you know. But tonight's going to be a doozy, so make sure to keep on touch with that. But yeah, I'll let you guys know. I'm going to take a quick break just while I get my kid into college, because I think we all would like for my kid to be in college. All right, so let's get into some news before your hair turns gray and you fucking die. Our favorite boy, Trumpaloon. He passed national emergency to try to get his wall built. And then the longer this goes on, the more wall stops having meaning. So I could say wall stops meaning things. The House pretty much was like, no. And they said they passed a resolution and nullified. So that's that, fans. They was like, you can't do it. It's not going to work. Try that bullshit. It's not a real thing. He was at an egg, you were at an omelet bar. 245-182. Against party lines with 13 Republicans being like, nah, Sam, you're not, we getting out of here before it even starts. I'm pretty much saying that this makes no sense. He's not getting no money for this fucking wall. I would say, for the guys, because I know when we do come back, we're going to do that vaunted political show. The reason it's taking so long, guys, is the people I want to have on it, I need to make sure that they have the time for it. So we're going to have one hardcore Trump guy, one guy that's kind of a party guy, Republican guy, and then the other side, we're going to have me right in the middle. I'm going to have somebody who's kind of like down with what's going on with the just the Democratic side, and we're going to have a full-on socialist. I would like to see, have those guys in the room, hash it out, give them some questions, see what they would do. It should be pretty interesting for people who are not really sure what means what, and you've only heard Trump supporters abstractly, or if you only heard socials abstractly, I think it should be a really good time, but that will be after the break. The Oscars were on Sunday, and they were so black. We did it, fam. We did it. The Oscars literally, they should have like being a bald gold dude. It should have literally been a statue of fucking Dolomite. We did it, fam. We got Oscars all around. Spike Lee showed up dressed like Waluigi. Don't fuck that word up. He got his first Oscar. We got a lot of people up there. We got Regina King, the girl from 227 and Poetic Justice, and Riley from the only shitty thing is crazy. I was thinking that because she won that Oscar, that means that we're never getting the Boondocks again. Like, there's no more Boondocks is happening for us, folks, unless they get new voices. And I think no one wants that. I think they did a really good job with it into that final season. And I'm glad that she survived that final season. But it was good. I mean, I really feel like there's going to be some backlash, right? You know what I mean? Like, you know, they're just giving stuff to black people to shut us up. But you know what? I'll take it. My favorite movie of the night, obviously, was Spider-Man, the Spider-Man cartoon. If you guys haven't seen it, please do. I feel like it was, of the movies shown last night, it was the most authentically black. And yes, I saw If Beale Street Could Talk, and I still say that Spider-Man, Into the Spider-Verse, was a blacker movie than that, because that was a realistic portrayal of black people and not that jazz fucking painting that Beale Street was. That what tonight was supposed to be about. I'm going to have a talk about movies, but I decided against it because tonight's show, now that we're kind of midway through it, we're going to be talking about false equivalencies on the internet where people go like, I saw this thing, but what about this or what about that? And we should have a pretty awesome special guest, someone that you've seen on the Facebook street who rants pretty hardcore, and I'm going to give them the opportunity to kind of like relay it to y'all motherfuckers like so. Let's get into it. Let's see what else we got going on. In terms of sports, you got Robert Kraft getting a $40 Robin tug. Pretty rad for an old man. He's got his balls massaged by Chinese ladies. Fucking dope. Pretty fucking rad. He got arrested in June, and they kind of got up to him now. The wider implications are not known. If it is what it is, he just like got a blowjob and some sex on a bath table. It's not that huge of a deal. It'll probably give him a suspension, you know, keep him off the field. But if he knew what the fuck was going on, and the fact that the reason that they were there in the first place was because it was a lot of human trafficking going on, and he was aware of human trafficking, bigger issues could be at play, and they would sell. They'd probably make him sell a team or something to that effect where he'd be gone. But I feel we've seen last Robert Kraft in that type of format. You know, no more kicking with Meek Mill, no more kicking with fucking Gucci Man. I think Robert Kraft is donezo in these outside streets. Trying to think what else we got going on. But yeah, like I said, this is going to be the break. We're going to take a quick break, get a kid into school, make sure that she's solid and she's not out here, you know, on the pole, make sure she's in school. So we're going to take a break. But in the meantime, let's go back to our old shows. We have the Kanye West deep dive. We have a deep dive into the Nas. Like I said, it was two episodes of that with Chantel Branch. We had a R. Kelly show, which I think was pretty fucking spicy with a lot of people. There's plenty of situations. We have David Braff. We did a movie episode, which I thought was really good with Braff. I'm trying to think. We had so many good episodes, guys. This was a really good open and salvo. Like, I had no intention of taking a break. I didn't think we were going to do seasons, because that's kind of weird just for what I'm trying to do. But you know what? Take some time out. You can skip the new section if you want. The new section, I understand, is not evergreen. But just skip to like 9:15. Indulge yourself. Fucking love it. It's fucking great shit. Friend of the show, Chantel's on. Friend of the show, David's on. We got Christine Clemente. I had my ex-wife on once. We were talking religion. I thought that was a pretty good show. So you go to pregame radio. I'm not exactly sure how the format works. But, you know, I can get to you on the thing where you want to check in and see what we got going on. Listen to them. You can contact me anytime you want. I will talk about any show we've done. More or less everything we've talked about pretty much of top of mind on. So if you want to hit me up at NPR Pod, make sure I'm giving you the right one, guys. I don't want to give you bullshit and have you talking to some dude from Russia and have him steal all of your information. So let me find out. Yeah, Black NPR, it's BlackNPR.pod at Twitter.com. Ready to go. And also the Black NPR at Outlook.com. So if you have any questions or concerns, you want to chat, you want to play the game. Remember last week it was a segment. So if you want to deep dive something on your own, that's for free. Like I said, we'll be back in about a month. So right now we're about to hop into our ads and our song. This week is going to be Noon by Soft Glass. Fucking bop. This whole entire time I've been trying to like get you guys on fucking hit your play, fam. Music's more than soca, dog. There's a lot going on. So we're going to kick off. I'm going to make sure I'm trying to do a 9:10. I always stick off and do a little bit earlier. But yeah, 9:10, I'm going to get to it. I don't want to add. Again, BlackNPR at Twitter.com or BlackNPR at Outlook.com or Danny Crude up at Facebook. When we come back, we're going to be talking about false equivalencies. Hopefully we have some surprise guests for you. And just throw it to the ass. Take it away, Brooklyn Black.
Yo, shout out to those that help us keep the lights on over here at Pregame Radio. Check out ME Productions for all your digital media production needs. Like them on Facebook at ME Productions with a Z and email them at heyme.tv@gmail.com. Also, check out LitBK. Check them out at litbkny.com. Check out their Black Star Power Tees featuring some of your favorite entertainers and use the code PREGAMEISLIT at checkout for 20% off all your purchases. Also, check out iCraveWear. Check them out at iCraveWear.com. Pick up your Facts t-shirt representing your hood and pick up your Brooklyn Certified pins, t-shirts, and more. Use the code PREGAME at checkout for 15% off your order.
I can't wait for this damn week to end. All these feelings won't stop creeping in. Feeling jealous, feeling weak again. Every morning I've been sleeping in.
Get in and talk about Justin Smollett, the Coast Guard guy, racism. Pretty much his open window to talk about false equivalencies, guys, something that you niggas love to do. So right now we've got friend of the show, one of the Termagen Talk ladies, one of my favorite people, and hopefully one of yours, Miss Chantel Branch. What's up, my nigga?
Oh, no, I didn't. Hello?
Yeah, you're here, nigga.
I didn't mean to. I was just listening. I didn't mean to. I didn't know you could
you
see me.
You fucked up. You're too late, fam. You're here already.
Oh,
too late.
Shit. No.
Yeah, you fucked up. Yeah, all right. So I'll let you go back to talking. You can give your opinion now, and I will back your play.
What's
the question
about Justin?
But we're talking about false equivalency. We're talking about false equivalency, and pretty much, I'll start pretty much what the conversation's about. I saw when Justin Smollett, we call him Justin here, because we feel like he's too old to be called Justin. His name is Justin.
He's 6 years old.
Yeah, he's a grown-ass man. The nigga's name is Justin. So Justin Smollett set the ball in the motion. He got himself jumped and beat up and then filed a false police report. I love my black people. I know sometimes it seems like I don't, but I do. We seem to be like a dog with a bone about the fact that he filed a false police report. And white people have done so in the past. I've seen it being connected to Emmett Till. And why are we mad about this when such and such happened? Why are we so obsessed with Justin Smollett when there's a Coast Guard next to guns? Why are we so obsessed with Justin Smollett when white people doing this all the time? No! No, that's what we call in business a false frequency. Because when I saw today, the one that kind of like the onus of it, friend of the show, David Brass, if he's listening, he can call and defend this. I'm well aware to do it. When white people call the police at these barbecues and at these situations where it's innocuous and they're being racist and they're taking away humanity that way, it's wrong. But it's not the same as what Justin did. Because when they're making that call, they're exhibiting a passive racism. They're not actively going, you know, let's be racist to these natives today. That's not the point of what they're doing. They're being racist in the fact that they're doing it in the first place. When Justin made the call and had those Nigerian dudes whoop his ass, gave them that check, and they went to the store and bought it, that all existed in a space of aggressive like knowing about racism. Like, he did it actively to flare up racism, to be seen as a victim. And I think I told you, to be seen like one of the Parkland kids, as somebody, and so he could then parlay that into being, which I guess he was going to brand himself as a gay Tupac, as a revolutionary who was both gay and black, and then transition into that and then use that as a bump to get some money on his soap. That's infinitely worse, because he knew what he was doing. He was actively participating in using racism to further a goal.
Mm-hmm.
That does
worse.
Not equate. He's much worse. Does not equate to someone calling on cops for black people having a barbecue. Is that wrong? Yes, but it's not the same, because when that lady was making that call, I guarantee you she wasn't thinking, ugh, blacks having fun time. No, it was an instinct she felt. I don't feel comfortable. These people don't look like me. I'm calling the cops. Also, by her calling the cops on them, the worst case scenario, they get picked up. That was an isolated incident. It became big, what have you. This shit right here has wider implications. The president's tweeting about it. What he did was give a lever in an argument. When someone goes, well, this bad thing happened to me, someone can now tell me, you sure? I can't even say, what the fuck do you mean? Am I sure? Why would I make that up? There's a reason now why I'd make that up. Thank you, Justin. There's a legitimate reason now. Why? Because if someone said, well, the nigga would make up a hate crime, they get a salary bump on a failing network TV soap, no one would have believed you a month ago. Why would you do that? It makes no sense. But now I see it's possible. So if that's possible, it's all possible. And you've now made it even harder for an actual victim to come forward and say what they need to say, and for the reason that you said it. So it's not equitable.
I want to also say something, because I'm not sure how many people have so-called Trump supporters on their timelines anymore, or if they have people who would be considered white people on their timelines, because there were some folks that really and truly were getting their fucking life to the fact that Jussie, I ain't never seen these people post about Empire. I mean, there's a couple that I did see that post about Empire before, so I guess they were aware of who Jussie Smollett was. And there was a sector of people who really enjoyed showing that MAGA people aren't what we try to make them out to be.
You get to do that.
But I think that the worm is turning, because everyone's so upset about this whole MAGA shit that we're not vetting. And I think that what Jussie did, which was, I think what he did was disgusting, because as a black man, as a gay man, knowing full well what all is going on in those two marginalized communities for the need for attention or money or both, he took that and played on people's
innate
emotions, fears to try and elevate himself. And for that, it's fuck him forever.
Yeah, and that's foul. That's demonic almost, because you can push two people. It's not only you just push black people back, because I'm hearing that a lot. You push gay people back with black people, because a lot of black people would not believe that nigga out of hand because he was a gay dude. Just out of hand, they were like, this nigga was bullshitting. These niggas was out here saying that he made it up because he wanted some dick, and they told him no, so they beat him up, which was patently untrue and ridiculous. But when you find out this nigga's lying, it don't help your cause. When you got our boy Billy Porter sashayed in the fucking history on Sunday, having a fucking fight and claw for black gay men to fucking have some standing and to exist and be seen as black and proud and powerful. For him to pull this fucking bullshit and a man, as a man, as a man. Because the thing I took from the Billy Porter thing was a quick aside. This episode can have a bunch of asides. He was proud. There was a pride about him being up there. That was a proud man. There was no head down low. He swung out there. He showed what he wanted to show. He was there. There was no, I mean, honestly, there was nothing better than that. But then we had what Justin did, if you call that nigga Justin. He not only did he make black people look weak and lie and what have you, but he played up the gay stereotype of victim.
And yeah, with those ass tears.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then he was out there giving a TED talk with Robin Goddamn I Survived Cancer Roberts and lied
twice.
To the face.
Twice. Twice. The second time was like a really bad one, a weird one.
There's one thing, if you would have been like, you did the shit, right? I think I told you the story. I'll tell the story on the show. I don't mind it. Did we figure out when that was? I want to make sure that we, now that I'm telling it like on air, I want to make sure that I'm being very precise about
mm-hmm.
it. I, back in the day, I rented a game called Double Dragon 2. I rented it. I had it. I went to this place in the neighborhood. If you guys from East Elmhurst, you're familiar with a place called Pizza Deli or Airways. They used to have video games in there. In 1990. This happened in 1990. I was turning 11 in August, so I was 10 at the time. I'm in Pizza Deli. I'm playing the game, probably with Captain Commando, don't know. I left. I got Double Dragon at Pizza Deli. What the fuck? I went back, gone. My plan, not to tell my mom that I lost this game, which couldn't have cost any more than $20-something. I then decide I'm going to run it down, because it was on the Spanish side of the neighborhood. I was going to say some Spanish niggas fucking juked me and took it. Thinking there's too many Spanish niggas in to find it. It's a needle in a haystack. I get away with looking like a victim. I get to watch my TV. I don't worry about nothing. And they're going to chuck it up to a loss. Wrong. My mom calls all the goons that have been trying to fuck her over the years to come find these niggas. How dare they try to rob me? And they stroll. And I gave the problem I made was just Justin did. I gave too much specificity. And I said a nigga
mm-hmm.
had a WrestleMania t-shirt. They found a nigga with a WrestleMania t-shirt. And they beat that nigga half to death.
And it probably
was
wasn't
like,
that hard.
No, it wasn't, because now that I'm older, I realized that wrestling, Spanish dudes go hand in hand like Spanish dudes in cowboy hats. So I said it just thinking it was just a random thing to say. I should have just said to Spanish dudes, and that would have been the end of it. But I had two Spanish producers, men of WrestleMania shirt. They got the nigga. They brought me to the basement. There was a nigga downstairs, literally missing teeth, fucking fucked up. On his way out, and he's like, "Is this a nigga?" And I'm like, "Ooh!" And I fucking, you know, when you see some shit that your brain's not ready
mm-hmm.
for, you just give the fucking truth up. Like, I don't want this shit on me. I was like, "I ain't do nothing." Da da da. And thankfully, the Jamaican dudes felt like they've done enough to get them boxed off my mom, so they didn't give a shit one way or the other. But my mom is pissed because I guess she realized she's gonna have to give some box up or something equivalent to. So I got in trouble. And the worst thing here was not that guy getting beat up. Is I didn't get to see the series finale of Elf. I say that story to say, I still haven't seen it, believe it or not. Apparently, he, like, gets caught, and they, like, dissect him. That's how it ends. Spoiler
Dark.
For Elf. Yeah. They catch him. I tell that story to say is that that's instant to lie and be specific, but once you get caught, you get caught. You got to own that shit up. What he did was he saw that body, that kid in my basement bleeding with teeth missing, and went, yep, that was him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Justin did. Justin saw that, was at the precipice of where he could probably skated it and took some slings and maybe some arrows and could have probably played it off on being, because even the shit they try to play now, he's on drugs and he's been abused by the system for so long.
I don't think Molly counts, so he can cut the shit.
That's what I'm saying. But he could have been like, I'm an addict, blah, blah, blah. He could probably have played that once people started thinking he was kind of full of shit. Before the police got involved, for sure. He could have been like, you know what, you got me. But the moment the police got involved and he was, like, offended and hurt, that was it. Now, the story's not really about justice. The story's about the people online. So what have you seen in terms of the people online, in terms of
the
way that they're...
Well, I saw the people who were trying to say, see, this is bad, this is not bad. you know, this guy's obviously crazy. It wasn't anything homophobic, and I can't even say that it was anything racist. It was just a win for the MAGA people, feeling like, yo, we're not bad people, we're not racist, we're not homophobes. Your guy lied, and keep America, make America great. I got to tell you, if the idea is really to turn this shit around in 2020, those who have that interest are not doing a good job. It's just fucking up left and right. It's really fucking up left and right. And I think
that was wrong,
there.
That was fucked up. Because the thing is, and I tried, that's the thing I'm trying to explain to David, is that you can't piggyback on this. This was a loss. It was just a complete. It was a loss by us, for us, to us. This, you know, like that meme where the guy's on a bike and he puts a stick in the fucking wheel well and he fucking falls and goes niggers because like he fucked his own life up and blaming someone else. We did that, so we can't go what about. There's no what about. That's the thing I don't like about the internet, which brings us to the show. Like, why would you see this thing where this guy does something so incredibly stupid and hurtful and destructive and then go, why are we making such a big deal about it? It's a huge deal because this is somebody, this is one of our own, that was able, with three or four words, got us so riled up. He got a nation march on his behalf, pretty much, based on just what he said. And it showed a huge flaw in our system. I don't know if you noticed that. The flaw in our system is we'll believe everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not good because that's the opposite of discourse. That's the opposite of information. But we are wired to be like, why would a nigga lie? Why would he make that up? Why would somebody make up hurt? Why would you make up, you know, being hurt? You know what I mean? And we could tie this up to, like, the whole rape thing. Why would you make up being raped and then you find out the people do? So why would you make up this? And now we find
it's
now
a small
we found
amount
out
of people who do, but it's still that people.
All you need is one. And we didn't have one. That's my point I'm trying to make. That's my problem is that we never, there was never one. There's no definitive nigga that made up fucking racial fucking, no one did that. Maybe
well, you
there
know
was like,
how long it's been? We had to call him the Tawana Brawley. And that is such a lost
that fucked up so
reference.
Many people.
You know what I mean? That's such a lost reference. But that reference
Tawana Brawley.
When we were kids. Yeah, like, think about it. Like, she's probably the same, about a few years older than you or I. She was a little young girl. But she was also a child.
But what
was
the whole,
36...
do you remember that? Do you remember the setup was that she said she got raped?
She got raped and they smeared doo-doo on her and stuck her in a bag, and that's why she missed curfew.
And she was just trying to skate on curfew.
Two white men. Yeah, it was two white men, one with a cop, and she blamed them.
Because it sounds like a thing to do. It sounds like, all right, that's what we're doing here, family, you know. And we're going to do it. And I mean, I get why we do it, because it feels like, all right, we need to, like, support our black people. We need to, like, round up. We need to make this happen. But then when we do it and it's wrong, you lose. Everyone who, like, jumped in the scrum early lost the fucking beat. Solan O'Brien lost the beat. Ava DeMornay lost the beat. Everyone lost the beat. The problem is, if I tell you,
but... Now, you would ask me some more questions because just a few more.
Go ahead.
You would ask me a few more questions. But
yeah,
there was something about it.
I just
want to
get
some,
a general out of here.
There was
when
some,
you would adjust that
some,
thing, I knew it was wrong. It was the snow. It was the cold part that made no sense. I was like, these niggas was in the negative. Because literally your cousin was in a video throwing boiling water in the air, freezing in the air. You try to tell me that's the same temperature and the same condition that two white niggas will prowl in the street with fucking bleach in a noose? Don't believe it. It's impossible for me to believe it. But the thing is that's how bad, now that's the issue here, that's how bad racism is, that it overrid all that in most people's minds. They'd be like, well, fair enough. White people do anything. You know what? I'm going to go on the record and saying, I don't think they do that. I don't think a white person would be in negative 50 degrees with props.
Not
okay,
with that bullshit-ass whipping that
no,
he supposedly took. That
no,
ass was
my
too weak.
Bullshit. I don't, honestly, I don't think anyone hates anyone enough to just to beat nobody's ass in negative 50 degree weather just because they saw them in the street. I don't believe it. That's Arctic temperatures. Because that's like being in fucking South Pole and be like, nigga, fuck it. I'll take a punt. No. Because you know what they would have found? If he would have got beaten the way they say he got beaten, you know who would have been there laying right next to him? The nigga beat him up. His lungs would have been fucking on fire from breathing on that fucking air. They would just both been laying and fucked up. He had his face hit, and then you had Lee Daniels hit himself into it, and he's messy as shit. The niggas don't want to realize how messy he is, because anyone who's done business with Dame Dash, I just assume, is messy. And like, if he was like, oh, I'd borrow $5 off Dame Dash, I'm like, you messy as fuck. So this nigga's out here, and then he's fucked over Dame Dash. That's the shitty thing about it. He fucked Dame Dash over. He ain't give Dame Dash his money as a man. That's what Dame Dash would say. And he involved himself in and got it all whooped up and carried on. And he might have wrote himself a letter. It's just the equivalency. And some argument that me and you had was about the Coast Guard guy. And why is that not a bigger story? And what I was saying is that after, and I don't think I've ever discussed this in the show, after a certain man who I will always go to, I will always go to this fucking man. All right, and you always shock when I fucking do it, because you're always like, this nigga again? Yes, this nigga again. This nigga's name is Esther Lee Flanagan II. Let me say this again. This nigga's name, nigga, this fat gay man named Vester, V-E-S-T-E-R, Vester Lee, went on national fucking TV and clipped a blonde white woman on a Tuesday. Just went on his fat gay black ass and just shot the shit out this white lady and another white dude by the name of Ward on national TV, on TV. They could clip two young white people. So everything on our metrics would say, hey, this is going to be huge news, right? We always say it. The news only gives a shit about white people. A fat gay nigga named Vester shot a blonde white woman. That it don't get no more inflict my nigga, Vester. Vester gay ass shot that woman. It wasn't a news story by Tuesday. I'm looking at Vester right fucking now. This nigga looks like a, look at this. Oh, man, I wish I could put this. I forgot it out on TV. This nigga is so fat and black and grinning and all this. Nigga showed up and put them niggas down. We heard about it for maybe 2.5 days. By the Friday, it wasn't news anymore. So why do you think we would care about a Coast Guard guy who said he was going to shoot some people and didn't? Hell, remember when that dude went and legitimately shot Congress people in a baseball game?
Mm-hmm.
He actually shot them. Like, clip them, like, and it wasn't like he shot Democrats, he shot Republicans. Like, he put iron to hip and was able to, like, make connections with, like, 3-4 of them. One, seriously. Mm-hmm. Do you remember how long that was in the cycle? Like, a day and a half. It was a day and a half. You know what I'm saying? Oh, David's being a family man today. He's being a family man. Good for you, fam. Mm. But, yeah, it's like, I don't think people realize how bad it's gotten, where a nigga show up to a country show with a fucking gun in a window and clip 56 people, and then in a week and a half, fucking done. Or a nigga show up to a gay club and clip 35 people and then be fucking done. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but the thing about it is, if you go back to that, there was a lot of folks trying to say that that wasn't what that was.
That was a false flag.
Yeah, there were people trying to say that that wasn't exactly what that was, even though it was what it was.
That goes back to the thing.
That's humans need to, like, not have the world be that terrible. I mean, if there was no television and there weren't people standing there. No, if there was no television, I don't think it would have been so easy to let people believe that. Oh, no, excuse me. People don't believe that two planes flew into the World Trade Center.
They don't believe the world's flat. They believe the world's flat. I just recently found out the niggas, I kind of talked about a little bit on the Nas show, niggas don't believe in slavery now. You got niggas playing there like, I ain't never met an African, and I don't know, I'm American, and we were here already, and the niggas, I don't know what you're talking about, that they're saying that because they want to try, saying that the white man said they were slaves to diminish us.
Right. The same way people say they have Indian in their family, but they don't, because there wasn't that many Native Americans, and you really just have white in your family, because either somebody in your family consensually or non-consensually had a congress with a person of European descent.
Oh. Yeah, because you could always tell someone who had like a little engine in them. It's a they hair and face and everything lays a bit different, and it's very rare. Like, it's not as common as just having a nice year or nice, you know, nice in quotes, or having like features. It's usually like a specific, even in that specific kind of brown, you don't even have that to make sure. But it's a better story than, hey, master rape one of my relatives, and that's why I'm here. Like, my hair is nice,
or
I look a certain way because
one of my relatives was an indentured servant, and one of my relatives was a slave, and it was happy hour at the plantation, and they got busy. Because that's a part of the
story.
Yeah,
and she was on board. There's a lot of them on a lot of them was I mean, there's with the shit. It's like one of R. Kelly's people was with the shit, but still, it was with the shit. And I think people want to believe that there's a level of agency, like they didn't want that, and I'm not from that, but it's true, that's what you're from. You're from that. But I think you're right. People want to believe the world's not as fucked up as it is, but if you pay attention, you got bus people driving in. It's not even once, or not twice, but this happened 3 times where a nigga just took a van and drove it into like a whole crowd of people. That's like a thing that happens on a consistent fucking basis.
But those are the things that we're supposed to be scared of. And when just people like, so when people say like, why are we, the reason why this Jussie story also lasted is because Jussie obviously did not get beat enough as a child. And when he realized he was caught, he didn't stop lying. He kept lying like somebody who wasn't going to get their ass whipped when the
he
lie was
tripled down.
Yeah.
So it's like, I told the moment I realized the shit had out of control, I dropped it right on the table. I said, this is too much. This is too much. Because when it was just abstract, I was fine. But the moment I'm like, no, okay, I'm out. Because anything longer than that is on me.
Right.
And I know I'm going to get beat for it. I'm not going to beat for this. You ain't beating me, my nigga. Nope. One person who I don't know getting beat is enough for me. Even though I'd rather have gotten beat than been able to see Elf. That really choked my ass. I didn't get to see Elf. And I didn't get to see when Martin Lawrence lost his shit on SNL. I got in trouble that night.
Oh,
too.
I've
they
never
let me
saw
see
that.
And I could see it online, but I feel like it wouldn't have the same gravitas as watching him like fuck off. He was high on drugs at the time. He was fucked up. Yeah, he was fucked up. So he was cursing and missing cues. You know, I mean, you're a comedy person. You're weird, especially if you listen to Mark Maron. That show operates by the grace of God on like cues. So it's like, even when it's not funny, I respect everything they do, because for it to work, everything has to operate at peak. The wig dudes, everything has to be, the sets are being made like 5 seconds before the shit comes on. So everything has to kind of operate in lockstep. And he wasn't operating in lockstep. He was high on, he was like scribble his name on the wall at the end of Martin. And I missed that, and that really bums me out that I didn't see it. I got in trouble. Got caught in a lie. Jussie still lying. He was on Empire. Apparently the people Empire pissed. They're like, don't want that nigga there. They're like, why are you there? Why are you, you know, you made us all look like dicks. Like, let's get you out of here. What they need to do is on Viv the nigga.
They should replace him. They should just replace him. They should not write him out of the story. I haven't watched Empire since season 2 because the singing and the storyline, it just felt like a story that could have been told in 16 episodes and we could have said goodbye to it. And I'm going to say something else. Justin is not as good of an actor as he thinks he is, and I never thought he was that good of a singer. So he can go.
He's okay. He's a Nas of singers and actors.
Oh dear,
he's
I wouldn't do that. He's serviceable, but there are other
he's
people
serviceable.
Who can come in and do what he did.
That was something that happened all the time. People got on Viv all the time. On Viv got on Viv. What's the name?
Becky.
Jesus
Becky
Christ.
From the
Becky from
the
Roseanne. The Roseanne show. I like the fact that both the Beckys get along. I thought that was pretty cool. Family Matters. She got written off.
Oh, right, right. The little girl went upstairs and never came
back. No. She didn't get written off. She just went away. She went away and came back as a porn star. No, the mom. The last season was a light-skinned lady. Got a light-skinned lady to be Thelma Hopkins left and got a new mom. Which one was there were two light-skinned ladies, but one of them, the new one, Viv, was fucking Tim Reed's wife, right?
Yeah, Daphne Maxwell Reed.
Yeah. Yeah, I fuck with Daphne Maxwell way more than I fuck with Joe Reed Patton, none of the lady. But yeah, you just get a new person. I don't think he deserves to get written off. I don't think he was that poor. And you just put a new nigga in there. It's fine. It happens all the time. So when I say the false equivalencies we get to it, is that we're sitting on the line. We're both on the internet. You saw the thing with the Billy Port thing, right? So Billy Port comes in. He's wearing just a tuxedo dress, which I think was fucking fantastic. Saw some people I didn't expect ever going to be in his corner, which I thought was pretty crazy. But then there's a lot of people saying the whole thing, that gay agenda, what have you, equivalent to making a false equivalency to, what's that thing that when they made gay people fuck other dudes?
Conversion therapy?
No, the slave thing where they said, like, slaves, they make slaves fuck other niggas for their amusement. I don't know if it's a real thing or not, or just something.
Oh, that sounds made up. Now, you know what? We've got to stop.
Yeah.
Okay? We have got to stop with the bullshit. Go to the damn Schomburg Center, open up some fucking books, and learn about what happened during the transatlantic slave trade, and stop making up shit that you've seen on fucking Pornhub. That shit makes no fucking sense.
Just saying that.
That's fucking... Cut it out.
Well, yeah, the understanding was that they would have these, like, gangbangs for the men and to get in the slave owners. Because the other thing, too, I believe some black dudes believe that all white dudes are intrinsically gay and just can't wait for gay shit to fucking kick off.
Yes. So the idea that the fluidity of the white man's sexuality that allows people to feel that because there's a perception of a predatory nature that they will prey upon you in any way, shape, and form as possible. Not accepting the fact that we got a fucking male, a black male, middle-aged predator who took his fucking headshot, or excuse me, his mugshot in the same spot as Jussie. And he has been a predator since he was a young man. And he's not the only black pervert.
There's tons of them. There's fucking tons of them. We talked about one today, a personal one. And it was just like a if you think about when we talked about that particular person, it wasn't me. Our conversation didn't stop, is what I'm saying. Like, it was so common knowledge, everybody. That's just a thing.
Yeah, it made me sad.
That wasn't the middle. Because it's sad, but like it didn't stop it. It wasn't. Wait, hold up. He's a who? And it was just like you had to stop and fucking just like, all right, this is what it is. Because that's such a all these fucking maniacs. That are letting, you know, all these psychopaths that are out here giving bucks, you know, just being nuts and carrying on and not washing their hands, you know, all these crazy women that y'all are dealing with and I'm dealing with, but we're dealing with, they've all, you know, they're not all born that way. Like, all comes out the womb fucked up like that. You know what I'm saying? Not all of these women are coming out fucked. They didn't come out fucked up. It's not because their dad wasn't around. It's because somebody had hands and got touchy with somebody. And my understanding, it wasn't Joe Flynn, it wasn't Bob Simmons, it was fucking Uncle Jerome. So
right.
It's someone who looks like them out sneaking in the bed that night.
It's always crime of
proximity.
We all laugh our asses off at that abducted in plain sight bullshit. That was a crime of proximity.
Mm-hmm. It was a crime of proximity,
you know,
and the parents not giving a shit.
I think that the parents were being willfully ignorant. I don't even know if they did not give a shit or they just didn't understand the world. They kept saying they didn't understand. They didn't conceptualize. They were very caught up in their religion. All of that shit being what it is, the point of it is this. Billy Porter wearing a tuxedo dress in honor of Hector Extravaganza. Father.
That's his name.
Of the House of Extravaganza.
Father.
Father. And I'm not a person who I wouldn't consider myself somebody who's like super duper all into like LGBT culture. But like to me, ball culture is black culture. Anybody who does not understand that, they don't get it. That is some
We've
black
had this
ass
discussion
shit.
Before. It's black. It's more black in some instances, I think. It's more black than hip hop. And if you disagree, I'll tell you where I'm coming from. It's not just a marginalized culture doing something for fun. It's a marginalized culture, having to kind of glom together a culture because a culture that they were born into didn't want them.
Yeah, but they take a lot from the culture that they are being pushed out of. They are carrying the serviceable part of that
them.
Culture. Yeah, they're taking it with them. So,
but it wasn't given to them freely. Like for example, hip hop. Now this is a weird thing to do, but I want people to understand it. So, hip hop was, you know, like the breakbeat culture broke from disco, where someone took a record that would have the breakbeat. I had breakbeat records when I was growing up, where it'd be like a middle of a song that had like a breakdown on it that would break into the part of songs. A few people are ignorant to hip hop. A lot of West Indian people don't know that. That hip hop.
I don't know why, because guess what? The people who created hip hop were black people. Some of them were American. Some of them were West Indian. So we could let that go
too. Yeah. North Bronx, they were Jamaican. Yeah, so we could let that shit go too. So you didn't have these records. There would be like a part in a record. So you would have like for example, there's a breakbeat in a newer album. Let's say like in Radiohead, and there's like a part of Radiohead where like it stops and it goes, but it's not part of the song per se. It's just breaking into another version of. It's very musical. So you're jumping from one part of a song to another, and it's like a breakbeat that breaks down to it. They would take that and then loop it, and then after a while, they would dance to it, and someone said, oh, shit, I can fucking just spit rhymes on this shit. You know, I can spit rhymes on this beat. So they're like, fuck it, I'm going to spit rhymes on this beat. But that, I think, born itself out of disco and whatever culture that and dancing and what have you. It wasn't a, like, nobody was throwing these people away. I always put my neck out. I like ball culture and the fact that these people had nothing, and they glommed this together and said, all right, we need a thing, and they put it together. Because when
well,
we went
culture,
to that ball
But the thing
time,
about
that
ball
that
culture, if you've seen, if any, and this is, I don't even know if we're on top of it, but if you've seen Paris is Burning, the hip-hop and ball culture are coming to be in the same time frame, probably for a lot of the same reasons, probably with a little bit of overlap from the people.
Sure. Because, oh, did you watch the SNL with Chance the Rapper on it? And they were like they were old rappers, and they were like, oh, fuck these new rappers kind of day. And then you see the nigga was dressed like a cowboy, and another nigga was dressed like a fucking spaceman. And it was just like back in the day, hip hop, like the grand, what's the name of those dudes, like the oldest hip hop, there was some
the
crossover.
Zulu Nation guys.
Zulu Nation, yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Even though he's problematic.
We won't discuss.
He's probably, you know what I'm saying, that it's, no, we got to discuss because it is a crossover, because he was out there fucking bulls.
Mm-hmm. Allegedly.
So, well, a lot of niggas for it to be allegedly. And then we're going to do, then another cross equivalency where people says we're so mad at fucking R. Kelly, but we're not mad at the Catholic Church.
Yes, we are. We've bankrupted, I mean, not we, but it's been bankrupted in this country.
Yeah.
Mary Immaculate doesn't exist anymore. St. Vincent's Church, mm-hmm. I mean, hospitals. These hospitals don't exist because the money is gone, because they have to sell off this stuff in order to pay people, because that's how many people that they affected. The
we're looping around in the ladies now.
Yeah, all of
we're
that stuff.
The ladies,
oh, my God. That's, yeah. And
they're
the
out there
raping
nuns.
Yeah.
Raping nuns. But it's, you
They've
can't
been
compare
doing it.
The two. You can't compare the two. You can't compare what R. Kelly's doing. Like, I don't understand, and I really wish we had someone who had that thought process. So if you have that thought process, you'll listen, please call in. I beg of you. Because I want to,
give the
I'm
number.
Not going to yell at you, I promise. 347-857-4302. I'm not going to yell at you.
Give the number again.
347-857-4302. I'm not going to yell at you. That's a promise. I'm curious because I feel like, what is the instinct to defend something by demeaning something else? Because then when Trump's people do it, it's like, that has nothing to do with it. So when Trump's people get on Obama, the thing is that we love Obama here. We all love Obama. He's great. But Obama wasn't perfect. He did a lot of shit. But the fuck shit he did at the level that you have to be paying attention to notice. So a lot of this shit, some of the stuff that Trump is doing, he's just extending and taking stuff that Obama did to his next logical conclusion. It's just that we weren't really paying attention. Like, we don't really pay attention. That was the funniest thing that Michael Che said, his act, for saying that, like, I can't wait for someone else to be in there so I don't have to pay attention to shit no more. So no one was really paying it no mind. As long as the world was on its axis and we were kind of moving along, no one gives a shit. Trump's so fucking boisterous and so bad at his job, you can't help but notice everything's fucking wrong. But with that said, everyone's to blame Obama, blame Hillary Clinton, everybody but the dude. We're not talking about those people. So why? What's that instinct? Why don't people do it? What's your opinion? I don't know why people do it.
I think it's an emotional thing. It's a what about thing is emotional because you don't want to sit in the bad and just deal with it because it hurts and it sucks and it's terrible. So if we just sit in the fact that Justin Smollett, someone who's considered one of our own, someone who up until now was an outspoken activist type person who was also relatively talented and marginally able to sing, was speaking out from the position of power to say all these things that were happening. It would be like if Justin Smollett wanted to be, instead of saying he was a gay Tupac, he should have said he was a gay Jesse Williams, except that Jesse Williams seems to have way more bona fides. He puts more of his ass to the ground. He really tries to do the things that he's trying to do.
Yeah, I don't think he wanted to be that. I don't think he wanted to be seen. I don't think he wanted to be seen as a Jesse Williams type someone like doing the work. I think he wanted to be seen as a warrior in a struggle.
So what?
Like
isn't
Tupac,
that what Jesse
all of this is, no, because Tupac never did anything. But we always remember him as somebody who did, or somebody who was vocal about things, but he really wasn't.
We're speaking the royal we. We're not talking about you and me, right?
We're talking about royal. Yeah, hell, me and you don't fuck with that nigga at all. But I was going to try to bring that nigga up. So remember, we were talking about fucking the Nas and a thread somewhere, and some nigga said about Tupac. I was like, everything you said up until now is fucking void. I don't want to hear anything you got to fucking say. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Get out of here. Like, that's not just a light of fucking deck talking about fucking Tupac as a rapper. A rapper or what? This nigga has a song he literally moans for 3 minutes. Get the fuck out of here, man. That's what I'm going to do one of these days when I really feel like I'm too happy. I'm going to do a trial of fucking Tupac Shakur. And I'm not going to make the fucking things. I'm going to kill myself. I'm not going to be able to make it to the end having to hear this nigga fucking whine and cry at me for hours upon hours. The only plus side, and this is going to sound real fucked up to say, is that a nigga died before he could make any more music. So I'm not going to have to sit through hour upon hour of this nigga's sanctimonious pap. But
he has
people do
albums.
Fuck with him.
He has
Can you imagine this nigga was alive for like, what, 15 minutes? And this nigga put out 8 fucking albums. No, I've had about 10. And this nigga had a whole 20, 30 years of fucking make him. This nigga did 8 fucking albums in a span of a 3-year period. Oh, Jesus, this guy. But everyone thought he was like this intelligent revolutionary. The bomb was in Cuba. It was this huge deal. And I think that's what Jesse wanted. Jesse wanted to be seen as this pivotal figure in the movement. And some of them would have been like, he's important. We need to listen to him. As you see the grandma talking to Robin Roberts.
Say what?
When he was talking to Robin Roberts, he was carrying himself like someone with a lot to say.
Yeah. I heard what he had. I saw it. I watched it 3 times in a row. 3 times. Robin Roberts listening to him, trying to ask him questions, and he's on his soapbox. And she should have asked a few more follow-up questions, but she was trying to give him an opportunity to speak. But
No, she was asking no questions. She was just like, what is going to happen? And he was like, da-da-da. You know, you understand that. I want to get these people caught. That's the first thing that bothers me, is that they're out there right now. And it could happen to you. It could happen to them. I was like, and then when it came out, I was like, address the cold, Robin Roberts. address the cold. Address, like,
well, also, he kept trying to speak in it and say, like, oh, everybody's saying I was. This was a date going bad, and he was saying that he was in a relationship, and then he said, why were you at Subway? He was like, I was hungry. He was way too, I just, you know.
He was too buttoned up, you think?
He was too buttoned up, and he had too much incredulousness in his tone. He should have toned it down a little bit, and maybe if he would have humbled himself, he wouldn't have been caught. But he was so arrogant
about what he was trying to do.
I think that somebody leaked some of this information. I think they might have been trying to shoot him some bail, and I think because he kept running his mouth, this blew up in his face. That's what I think. I think that Chicago's the kind of city that they don't play with people, and, you know, they're a little rough. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like when he was really trying to keep it going and he kept talking, maybe they told him not to talk, and he kept trying to say, like, that he is cooperating and he had an answer for everything, they just blew his shit all up. That's what I believe.
The moment they said, let me see your phone, he would have showed him the phone and he would have had nothing on him because he wouldn't have been an asshole and texting these people. He would have been like, here's my phone, take a look at it. And they would have been, all right, cool, and they would have looked around. But the thing is,
he told Robin Roberts that the reason why he didn't want to give them his phone is because he has lots of people's phone numbers in his phone. He was talking to you. He was talking like a boyfriend who just got caught. Like, it was just all ridiculous, stupid shit. But so when we have this situation and then people trying to make comparisons, it's like this man made everyone a fool. So why are we even trying to do, like, a comparison to that guy? The Coast Guard guy, did he get arrested?
Yeah, he got him. Just snatched him up.
So he got arrested and he lost his job, right?
Yeah.
And that was supposed to happen, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what was supposed to happen.
That's it.
That was the thing, is that it was over with. There was nothing more to be fucking said about this fucking thing. Because I had an argument with a guy who was saying that the issue with the Coast Guard guy is that the government's trying to keep it bottled up, and that he might have been a deep state fucking guy. And what the fuck are you talking about? And a dude then made the equivalency of saying that, well, the thing is, John Wilkes Booth. I was like, what are you even talking about? And I literally told him, the moment you bring John Wilkes Booth, I have to stop you. This dude was a dude with guns. In the world after Vesta kills the white woman on TV, that's not a big deal. The world stopped the moment Vesta shot that white lady on TV. And the fact that niggas don't want to bring that nigga up, he shot a white lady on TV. Then another nigga was in California running around in the fucking woods like fucking Rambo for like a whole solid month. Remember that nigga?
Oh, the guy who looked like LL Cool J?
Yeah. LL Cool J nigga who was murdering niggas and they got cop killer nigga. Everyone forgot him. Then there was the bearded nigga that shot that old man on live. Remember? He was in Ohio. He shot an old man live, and then he went to Philadelphia because he had a beard, looked like QA, and he got that nigga. I'm saying people are getting clipped on TV all the time. TV live. White people doing it. Black people are doing it. Finding a nigga with guns is not a story anymore. Once they get you, you said a bunch of shit, they got you. That's that. If he would have used those guns and killed a bunch of people and then got away, And then if everyone kept talking about Jussie, then you would have a point. If he didn't kill nobody, they just got him with guns. Why do you think people want to stop talking about it? A lot of guns. Put it this way,
but,
a lot of guns want
right,
so,
but a lot of
even
guns
with all those
in America where everyone is allowed to have lots of guns and nobody is really taking the steps necessary to stop this shit. People are going to keep having a lot of guns.
He's going to have a lot
if
of guns.
If you are a black person and you live in Pennsylvania, you too can have lots of guns as well.
Yes.
And no one will stop you.
I don't think
all
people in New York realize
ID.
That.
Yeah.
I think people in New York realize that owning guns is not a race thing. And if you're in a certain part of the country, you can load your house up with military armament too. Because I told you that story when I was up in New Hampshire and I went to the gun show to see what it felt like.
Mm-hmm.
I told you that, right? Well, I'll tell you guys, audience. I went in, I was at a hotel because for reasons, I had to be in New Hampshire, and I was in the hotel, I came down, I said, you know what, they're having a gun show here, it was like $5 again, and I said, you know what, let me see what this feels like, because I'm a New Yorker through and through. Being near guns, very uncomfortable. Just being in a space where a gun is always makes me feel weird, Does it feel like at any point this thing's going to pull off? I don't want to be – just two places I don't want to die. One is on Queens Boulevard. The other one is being shot by a gun that went off accidentally. And third is falling off a high space. I don't want that. Those are three avoidable fucking ways to die. Don't cross Queens Boulevard. Don't be a douche. So I'm in there, and mind you, most of the people in there look like they talk to themselves. A lot of muttering was going on there. I was like, and I'm looking around. I mean, they had some nice ones there. And I was like, all right, so I'm just going to New Hampshire, the gun show. I was like, well, I saw one that looked like, because it's this TV show, like, and there's one, there's a black gun and a white one. He calls it Ebony and Ivory. And I think that's pretty fucking cool. So I was like, how much is that? And he goes, okay, well, you know, you got $750. I'll give you both. And I was like, well, you know, I got like, you know, like a seven. He's like, yeah, I'll give you seven. If you can give me like seven, if you could like find a way to get $750, $780, I'll give you like ammunition. I even showed a nigga an ID. I'm black, fam. Like, if I'm not black, at the very least, if you see me, I'm ethnic. This dude wasn't like, fuck you, nigga. This is like, oh, come, you want some guns? You know what I'm saying? Like, he had no trouble giving me guns. No one in there had trouble giving me guns. Everybody in there wanted me to have guns. The longer I stayed in there, the more those muttering dudes came up to me and says, you gotta get your first gun, so it's the best to get your first gun. They loved the concept of me having a gun. And when they found out I was from New York, it made them turgid to think, hey, we got this New York guy, we're going to turn him around on guns. You know what I'm saying? I don't think people, especially black people in New York, understand that these people don't care on some of them, not all of them, but a lot of them don't give a shit. They just want you to have guns in their hand.
I'm not trying to implicate anyone in anything anywhere, but...
Oh, here we go. It's a real turgid talk.
They know. They know what's up. These guns don't just appear in urban areas on their own. They know what's up.
They know where the fuck it's coming from, fam. They just know where the guns are coming from. Because it's 60-60, I think it's 50-50, right? You got people who just love the concept of guns. So I think we have a mutual acquaintance, and he's a cool dude, you know, Tony, friend of the show. And me and him had a podcast back in the day, and he's got stepkids, and he loves guns. He's had guns in the past. And just the concept of having guns and shooting guns is enough for him, and the concept of other people having guns and shooting guns is enough for him. He doesn't like the idea of people taking guns. He's the Second Amendment story you don't really hear. If someone like shoots guns, he enjoys shooting guns, he thinks that everyone should have the ability to shoot guns, and he feels like, you know, and it is what it is. Then you have another set of people like, you know, if they're going to go down and kill each other, then fine, fuck it, let them do it. Which is also serious. That's something that people want fucking done. But the point of being like the turn of the thing is that guy had a bunch of fucking guns in his house. Thing is, if he would have said, I'm going to kill all these people, he could only use one gun at a time.
Yeah, but the guy in Vegas, he had a setup. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever watched the documentary on that.
He had a setup. But the bump, he had a setup in a room, and it was bump stock.
Yeah, he had the bump stop, and then he had a bunch of guns, and he was just going for his. He bugged out, yo. He bugged the fuck out.
What was his reason for killing those people again?
There is no reason. No one knows anything. We do not know why he did what he did. He just did it. And died, and it's like he's gone.
He clipped himself, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
But before he clipped himself,
some of these niggas can't split the scene. You got to take a bunch of niggas with him. And he took like 50-something people with him.
Yeah, he really made a mess. Because when you watch the documentary, remember, people were at a concert, so they're filming in real time. And it's just, he turned that shit into a... I am not a person who has an issue with crowds, but I can't see how somebody who experiences that could ever be outside again.
Yeah, because you were sitting there enjoying the show. You're like in Vegas. You planned it out. Because, I mean, you've been to places where you planned it out. You've been at your work, and you're like, ah, I'm out of work. And you get your little bag, and you get on a plane. And, you know what I mean? Like, it's a whole stuff. And I thought about that. You're like, fuck it, niggas, I'm out. You go on Facebook, go like this. See my niggas later. And then you're flying out, and you check into your hotel, and you're like having a great time. Like, fuck it, you know, we got days. Let's get something to eat first. You go get something to eat. You know, all right, let's get to the show. You know, let's make sure that we're together. Get your band, and you're there. You listen to the music. You're like, oh, this is cool. And then you're,
you know how relaxed those people were, Danny. They were sitting on lawn chairs.
Yeah.
So you,
but
you know
you've
what I'm
also
saying?
Sat on a lawn chair.
Different...
You've been in a situation that sat on a lawn
yes.
chair.
Yes. Yeah.
And you've been calm and relaxed
so,
and enjoying every moment of it, and then next thing you know, niggas is fucking spraying fucking Beirut heat at you. You're not in the zone to fucking set the scene. Don't get fucking
And it's not even like, it's not even a situation where like, because I've been in outdoor situations where stuff like that's occurred.
Yeah, we had Jamaica Queens.
Yeah, I am from Jamaica Queens.
This ain't Roy Wilkins Park, fam.
Yes, the thing of it is, even in that, it wasn't like somebody was raining bullets down on you. Those
no,
people.
Raining brilliance across.
Yes. So this person was above them, and he was just making an arbitrary decision that they didn't know. They were running, but they didn't even know where they could go. There's a point where people who are hiding are being shot.
Yeah, because you don't know. You literally have, like, it's no. I remember looking at, because, like, you know, we've had this discussion numerous times because we've been both been in this situation. You're at a party, you're laughing, that's crazy, and you're word, nigga, and then next year you're pop, 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 pop. You know just to pick a direction and go. Pick a direction, go. Don't get cute, don't dip, don't turn. Pick a direction that gets you close to your house and go. Unless you have, like, clear intel on where this bullet's coming from, you pick a direction and go. This situation, that would not have helped you, but all directions were in play because that nigga was in a crow's nest. So he could have went left, he would have right. The only way you could have probably survived is Saving Private Ryan style and finding a corpse and fucking laying in front of it.
Like,
that's
they
all you
went
got.
Every which way. Yeah.
Because moving
they
makes you a target.
They tried to crawl under things. Yeah.
Standing still makes you a target. You know, all of these make you target. This nigga didn't give a shit and just think of this raining fucking bullets down from a fucking stand that he had to
set up. And he released 1,000 rounds, I believe.
50-something fucking people dead, fucking gone, out the fucking road, out of here. And that's not news. So that was news for like a week. And the only reason that was news is bump stocks. And they more than likely get bump stocks out of here. We'll figure it out. You know what? We'll throw you that bone. We'll get rid of bum sucks. Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty terrible. So when you get people that say the what about, there's terrible everywhere. And Jussie Smollett, we should push Jussie Smollett out of the circle. Out, out, out. Send
him away.
Stupid, you weirdo. What the fuck is wrong with you? Get out
of
here.
He made us look,
goodbye.
Put us in such a bad space. Like if I went outside right now, and got my head bundled in, really got my head just smashed fucking, and I'm down, and I'm like, oh, niggas beat my ass because I'm black, whatever, niggas had MAGA hats on, and that's what happened to me. Niggas gonna look at me with a grain of salt, like, all right, nigga, all right, okay. Like, I'm gonna have to, now the burden of proof is back on me, and that's never been the case with racial attacks. The burden of proof
especially
has never been
on the, I mean, and think about it. Even when people could see the crime, they still had questions. People saw that man. The only one people left alone was Philando Castile because that man shot him on the internet for no fucking reason.
He got shot on the internet, and I want to believe. And this, because it's just, you know how I usually shoot fair. Another thing that kind of added to why people kind of was like on board with it happened in liberal ass Minnesota, and it was an Asian dude who shot him. Asian dudes stay holding a fucking pipe. Anytime there's a situation where there's justice done, Asian dudes are at the forefront. Check it. I bet you, when that lady in Oklahoma, remember that cop that was raping all the women in Oklahoma, and he did like, he's got life in prison? Half Asian. Remember the nigga who fucking, all the people who stuck plungers up fucking Abner Louima's ass? Only nigga that went? Kind of, that Asian Volpe dude.
No, he went away. He's Italian. But he was Italian.
Yo, he's Italian? I know something,
yeah,
man.
Justin
Volpe,
he's Italian.
I know that nigga had a black, he had a full black queen.
Mm.
He had a black queen. He was out here shoving plongers up people's behind. And, And that's never not funny when you hear a Haitian person, he shut this stuff, show they plonger a piece behind. I said, I know what they plonger there, that's what you do. And they made me put their plonger in my mouth. And now that shouldn't be funny. That should be heart-wrenching and sad. But hearing the word plonger used in such an aggressive way will always be funny to me.
I'm happy that's there's fact. No video here. Thanks.
There's no video of that in
No, I'm happy there's no video on me right now because you are really terrible.
People know me, they plonger. And my teeth were on the ground. And I said, I want my teeth. I need my teeth to chew. And he telling me, you think I am some sort of food hitch of the plunging at me again. So I it's quiet. They gave him $3.5 million. He bought a hotel.
Good,
story.
Good.
But yeah, all of these Asian dudes always get end up holding a bag. There was another Asian dude in the city that he got for, like, shooting somebody. It seems for whatever reason.
Oh,
when they
no, but that guy didn't have to go to jail. The guy who made the mistake and shot the guy in the project in Brooklyn,
yeah.
the community, the Chinese community, really put a lot of pressure on D.A. Thompson, and he ended up not, he was convicted, but I believe his he was lightly sentenced.
Mm-hmm. So anybody, that's another false equivalency. Let's go to that. Why is it, why don't black people ever bond? Like, why don't we ever have that? We can never do that because we don't have cultural homogeneity. We don't have cultural homogeneousness, so we don't have that. We don't have Jews are Jews, Chinese are Chinese, Asian are Asian. There is no black.
Now.
There's no black. Yeah.
No.
Because,
I mean, no culture has cultural homogeneity. But there was a point in time, the way we got through a lot of the civil rights stuff, it's not that everybody was down with the get down, but enough people were down with the get down and the other people just shut up, that's how things moved along. Because at that time, people, and this is, I'm not trying to be like, this is not a pejorative, but it's going to sound wild. At that time, nobody gave a fuck where you was from. You was a nigga in America. That's the end. So there was no, it wasn't that there were no people from other parts of the world who were black living in America. It was that shit is so critical right now. You are black and you are in America and we are telling you, go to the back of the bus, do this, get out of our town before sundown. We don't give a fuck if you came from Jamaica, Jamaica Queens, fucking Jamaica Plain in Boston. You're a nigger and that's it. So,
niggas from Jamaica Plain. That's funny.
That's funny. A part of Boston.
I know. It's just, okay. I know there's no niggas there. That's why. We need to get a nigga from Jamaica with a Jew from Jamaica Plains and have them make a baby and move to Jamaica.
That fragmentation is something we were allowed to have this fragmentation because of the civil rights movement. So we had time to now parse down and decide who's who and what's what.
You know what? I'm going to put a quick sticky point in that only because my family's been here for a while. They've been here since 1916. But they got here in 16. And from what I hear, even though they didn't speak on it, they believe themselves to be better, separate, and apart. Now, I don't want to blame West Indian people for this.
Do you think that they would have been able to pull that? Did they always live in New York?
Yeah. They moved to the Bronx and stayed there.
The Bronx
now,
and New
what
York,
control
right?
Yeah, I don't know what control they pulled on that. I don't know like how much control. The only reason I bring it up is saying that I feel we, and I'm speaking on behalf of all of us and the people here, have such a level of disdain for people who were from here originally on a level. And almost to the point where we had a conversation about soul culture, like we had no culture. It comes flying out of their mouths, like you got no culture.
You know why I'm gonna say okay? Because anything I say back to that is gonna be disrespectful, ignorant, uninformed, whatever. I'm not engaging in that because you're already telling me everything I need to know. But what I know for sure is that no one cares. They're not saying affirmative action just for niggas whose family, whose people who are American. They're saying we don't like niggas. We don't like niggas with accents. We don't like niggas with funny accents, funnier accents, or the funniest accents. That's it.
Yeah.
So the fragmentation and the segmentation, they don't care.
Because I know if I keep you coming to the house with an accent, do I go, no, what's going on this? Hey, white man, I'm here to marry your daughter. No. No, you're just a funny nigga with a funny accent talking about you're married. No, you ain't marrying shit, fam. Get out of here. Also, the jobs, all of that. But niggas believe, I think the longer it went, and I think you're right on that, the West Indian people who showed up later, like we're talking about like six West Indian African, all the black people in general, who showed up after the fact, the ones who moved to communities where there were just West Indian people, they didn't do the thing that Chinese people did, where it's like, you're Chinese, you're from Asian from Taiwan, or you're Asian from Korea, but for the sake of what we're doing here, we'll all push it in the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do that
anymore.
We don't push it at things. Yeah, we don't do that. So it'd be like, well, this is a dude we're fucking with, or this is a situation, or this is going on. Other than two, that our dudes are notoriously corrupt.
Everyone's notoriously. I mean, we've now, America's joined
sure.
that too.
Yeah, we're there. But I feel like, we didn't get the chance to like juice it up like Israel did, where we got to have like, come on, I was listening to a thing about those Muslim Congress ladies who was like, yeah, that pact, APAC's fucked up. You know, God bless the God, Michael Barrow. But they was like, the issue was that, you know, they're out here saying fucked up shit. They're not good. They're like, they're not beneficial. Like, I have no issue with Israel, but I have an issue with the pact. And then automatically they had to like apologize, walk it back because of how powerful that pack is. And that pack is powerful because all Jews, for the most part, vote fuck with Israel.
But did you realize? Are we even still on the same topic? Because I was about to like hit a hard turn.
Go ahead.
Well, the hard turn is that this is something that evolved in the latter part of the 60s and 70s, some of it, because I just listened to someone read a letter from Spiro Agnew that he wrote to whoever was in charge of Saudi Arabia at the time, asking him for a loan to help him figure out how they were going to topple Israel. This is Richard Nixon's vice president, and saying that this whole idea of being pro-Israel is nuts, and like, what can I do to help? In the early 70s, this is what was occurring. But subsequently, we've all taken a turn, and now we are in line, you know, with the state. But very recently, there was a lot more fragmentation when it came to that. I mean, Barbaro did a really good job of exploring it, but when you start peeling back the layers, it's difficult to understand why those ladies have to shut up. They should let them talk. Let them say what they have to say.
They for whatever reason, have
That's why Mark
made...
Margo wants his job on CNN. The same thing.
Yeah. Leave them niggas. The thing is, leave them niggas alone. Because unless you got a coalition of the willing, nobody wants that smoke. Because I worked with the last job I had, I was working with this older Jewish man, and he was outside of Israel. And I was like, but why, though? And he goes, that's what we got. So we're going to fuck with it, because if we don't have that, we have nothing. And I was like, but if an Israeli dude walked in there right now, you wouldn't know. He's nothing like you. You know, he's more like an Arab dude than he's like. He was like, yeah. But, you know, like, but it's a team. It's tribal. It's tribal. But the same thing that, like, try to make us go back to, like are we going to, like, claim Africa? Like, I feel like I think Ghana's probably like on the first path to kind of figuring that shit out, and I hope they do. Where it's like, give people an option to come back, no problem. Give people fucking land, ownership in a thing, and people will fuck with you from across the world, because that's all Israel did. Said like, yeah, we fuck with y'all niggas. You know what I'm saying? And people like, we got it, we good, and like, there's Jews over here not getting kicked around. Y'all could be like us. Niggas don't want to go over there. It's terrible over there. But you get to, like, vote and keep them powerful. Then you have the option of going if you want. seems like Ghana is starting to do something similar.
Yeah, I think that they're trying to create the return, the year of the return. So it's in line with 16.
Stars over there, right?
So that's in line with 1619. So in 1619, first people arrived to Jamestown, Virginia. So what they're saying is 2019, 400 years later, is the year of the return, that the African, the slaves, the descendants of those Africans that were taken to Jamestown, and then and subsequently all across this part of the world, are welcome home, and utilizing and putting Ghana as a center.
And so that we could. That would be fucking amazing if they did, and I think that would be solid, and it would have some value. That takes us back to one of our first arguments we ever had about segregation.
Nope, not doing that right now.
No, mm-hmm. We're not getting into it. I'm saying, come on. There's only 10 minutes left. I'm not going to jump into that. I'm just saying, would it work to go back? But, they said, hey, you come back to Ghana, no strings attached, come back, get dual citizenship. Come get your dual citizenship. But you have to stay in Ghana for a year. You get a dual citizenship and you get land or whatever. Or you get land, or not get land, but you get something that's comparable. Get a co-op, let's say. would you go back? Yeah, I don't know.
That's a real New York thing. You know co-op don't exist outside of New York, right, Danny? No one knows what that is. That shit literally only exists in New York City, really, more or less. And right outside of it. They don't exist. I have a really
you
want to
come
life,
to Africa
and
get a co-op? You want to come get a
I
co-op and
not.
Get an African
if they
condition?
Offered me a co-op, I'd be like, you know what? No, thank you, because I feel like this is a trick. No.
It's a trap. I've never known a co-op situation to go well. I feel like co-op situations are always on the verge of one left. I've never known someone on the end of a co-op go, that was a pretty good experience. It always seems like no matter what you do for co-op, it's you own it just enough for all the negative things that come from owning.
Yeah.
Owning part of the building. But if you have any decision or thought process that runs concurrent to the other people on that building, you live in hell. You live in hell. It's not even a place where niggas are constantly trying to convince you to do something you don't want to do. But
right.
I said it's not a co-op. They're offering you say a plot of land, hey, we're gonna do a house, whatever. Would you go for a year?
I don't know that makes sense. I don't want to have to do that.
But you would get a dual citizenship. You know what I'm saying? You would get, you'd live out there. Say food and shelter are not an option.
According to Malik and Ebony, it was a wonderful experience to be there. Everybody who I've known recently who's gone to Ghana has had nothing but fun things to say about it. So I guess it would be my year abroad. So I don't know.
I did not enjoy the video you showed me of them in that place.
It made you feel very
dicey. It feels like they got out by the grace of God. That's what it felt like.
So you're happy that I didn't get to go. Is that really the point?
Yeah, because that really
I don't
like,
think I've heard you happier than the day I told you I had to cancel my trip.
Yeah,
you
no,
tried to be
I'm
understanding,
to there,
but you were just like,
I'm going to have to fucking go out there and have to fucking take this broad back home because this shit looks wild sus. I mean, she showed me this. There's just people to show. She's in her sister and her cousin in Africa, and they're like, it amounts to a fucking hall, and the light is that weird light that people have on that's never off. When you're at a bar and they do, last call, or they put that, drunk rousing light on, that's just on for some reason. And there's too many niggas in the cut. There's too many niggas in the cut for my liking. There was about 8 different niggas in the cut. Random niggas in the cut. Eyes yellow. Written by a light, not comfortable with that scene at all. Dangerous as fuck. Everyone had yellow eyes, and everybody was freeing. Nobody was doing anything. Everyone was dancing and having a good time. They were having a good time. So I'm not saying everybody, but there's about 8 different niggas just waiting. I don't know what they're waiting for, but they was waiting. And I was like, oh God, oh no. But then they got home. Ebony and Malik are home safe. So that's good. But I had some reservations that they would because it was too many niggas with yellow eyes staring and rubbing their little crazy foo-foo colored hands together. Not a fan. But I would go to see it. They said, hey, you could come over. How's homecoming and Israel work? They pay for you to go, right?
No. You pick a year. I know you're talking about birthright. Usually you do birthright
before.
the parents pay for the trip.
No, I think birthright's free.
Really?
Yeah, I think birthright's free.
Shit.
I think.
Wow.
I
don't
know
if we're gonna
okay,
get
cool.
there in the next few years, but you look into that.
Yeah, hold on. Let's see. Birthright, Israel. Let's see if it's on the investor screen. It's a free adventure. If you're 18 to 32, you get a 10-day journey from 18 to 32. You get a ticket trip. It's free. Yeah, it's free. You get to go and get to take a look. But that's how they do it, I think. Obviously, Ghana can't do that now, but I think the key is you allow people just to go over there and take ownership of the fucking place. So, and that's a really easy investment to make. That, like, when you come back over here, you've been there and you have ownership of it. You're like, hey, anytime you want, you can come back here. That's another home to you.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's time to vote and someone's talking reckless about fucking Israel, you're like, no, I had a good time there. Like, I met people, treated me well. That was with people who looked like me. And all it cost was a $3,000 trip. You know what I mean? And you got the full fucking weight of the United States of America on your back. Anywho, let's close things out with false equivalency. Please stop it, guys. I know you're doing well. I know you think you're helping people out. You're not. You really belie your intelligence when you connect things. Like this Jussie Smollett thing doesn't need to be connected to nothing other than the fact that it was a mistake. It was a huge mistake. It is a mistake that we can't blame no one else for. This is a black person's mistake. This is arrogance of a black man's arrogance who believes he was smarter than the system and he used something that hurts us. He used racism and hatred and he tried to turn that to personal gain and it ain't work out. It has nothing to do with Barbecue Betty or Permit Patty.
Those ladies are bitches. They're fucking awful people too, but in a different way.
They are. Yeah, they didn't actively seek to inflame race. They just was like, I don't want these people here because they make them uncomfortable. There's the racism. That uncomfortability is a nuanced, soft thing. Get them out the paint, figure something out. But this Jussie thing, that's someone who looks like us who actively has screwed all of us. If I go outside right now and get my head cracked in, I'm now in a position where I have to, like, defend myself higher than I did 2 weeks ago. And that's where the Jussie thing lies. So let's give another term and the last term engine talk of the season. Plug, go for it. I heard you're getting a lot of people. You got people from South Africa.
We are. Oh, you listen. No, South Africa.
Oh,
you're
fucking listen, nigga.
We had a Russian listener. Anyway, Termagant Talk comes out on Tuesday morning on every platform, Apple, SoundCloud, what's the other one that I listen to? Spotify,
Anchor.
Stitcher, Anchor. It's everywhere. And just for the month of March, we're going to be – March is Women's History Month, so we've got some plans for the women. And,
they talked about the Ghana's penis on the last one, so you got that going on.
We did.
They talked about his penis. You felt real good about being able to talk about a nigga's penis.
I did.
You felt really good about yourself.
In a space and a place where nobody could judge me. It was just another –
guess what? I was on a six bus heading to Pleasantville. I was like, these fucking hoes. Talking about penis. It's not even fucking 9 o'clock and they're not even talking about fucking cock. It's not even 9 o'clock in the morning. I gotta hear about niggas' cocks. Ugh, God.
It wasn't a deep dive
into Nas's penis, but it was quiet enough talking about sweatpants and the length and width of cock. But anywho, turn in a term into talk. I will see you guys. Fucking tramps. I'll see you guys. In a month, getting my kid into college, so I should be here. You go to the Black NPR pod on Twitter. Put the music on, Williams. That's how I know what's going on. You put let's go to Twitter, Black NPR pod on Twitter, the Black NPR on Outlook.com, and what's your Twitter handle if you like people to have it?
What is my Twitter handle?
Christmas Christ.
You don't remember it,
but I'll do it. Yeah, there you go. Termagant Talk Pod. It's been a pleasure. I will talk to you guys in a month. I know we're going to end up doing the fucking conversation with all those people. It's going to be a shit show of the epic fucking proportions, all those goddamn voices on there. But I will figure it out and make it work. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Thank you, Chantel. Bye. Thank you, everybody. Talk to you later.
We are Sex Bob-omb, and we're